вся, всюди мене село. Туди повернувся, всюди повернувся, всюди мене село.
Мамцю ж моя, мамцю, за кого м'я даєш? Мамцю ж моя, мамцю, за кого м'я даєш?
Він не буде вити, не буде любити, як ти все задаєш. Не буде любити, як ти все згадаєш.
Edmonton and their brand new CD called Homebrew. That was UB and a song about the barn, Stodola. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос». При мікрофоні Павіна Макварі. Дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Павіна Демчук-Макварі, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have a great program lined up for you. Sylvia Molnar is along with a recipe and she'll be talking about beef and an elegant recipe for stuffed meatballs. As well, we've got Keith Perron with news, and he'll be talking about the Ukrainian problems surrounding the jailing of Yulia Tymoshenko. They just never seem to stop. And also, they'll be talking about oil drilling in Ukraine's future. We've also got the recording of a conversation with Canada's Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs and International Development, which says sent a delegation to visit Ukraine this past week, and it was led by Bob Deckard, who's the Parliamentary Secretary to the Foreign Affairs Minister, John Baird, and also we'll be hearing from MP Ralph Goodale, who is also part of that delegation, and other members of the media, Ukrainian-Canadian media, who were able to present questions to them. And we've also got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is Tuti Tum from Saskatoon. And Tuti Tum, of course, means here and there, and one of the places where they will be is the Vegreville Pesenka Festival, which takes place in Vegreville on July 6th, 7th, and 8th. Meanwhile, here's Tuti Tum now with a song from their most recent CD. It is called Hey Ivane, Hey Johnny.
Now hear programs from PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. It's free and just takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the promo code box and enter PCJ to get automatically entered to win $100. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on their Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.
Follow your feet to the beat at the Vegreville Pesenka Festival, taking place this year, July 6th, 7th, and 8th in Vegreville, Alberta. Enjoy complete cultural immersion with Ukrainian music, dance, food, arts and crafts, pioneer demonstrations, stage shows and the covered grandstand, and much more. Weekend passes and on-site camping. For more information, visit their website, pesenkafestival.com.
Чорний до неба, чим місяць усміхається, зорі ясні плачуть, той на білій світі, у зеленім літі, накупається, де достигнім житті. Ой, на білій світі, у зеленім літі, накупається, де достигнім житті.
Він подьомне голосно, перепівка рада, залисно чи колосо. Житний дід вусатий, житом, житом дівчина, аж по під Карпати, часто стати дівчині, нарушничок стати.
Ой, на білій світі, у зеленім літі, дівчина купається, не достигнем житті. Ой, на білій світі, у зеленім літі, дівчина купається, не достигнем житті.
Житом, житом, дівчина, аж по під Карпати, часто стати дівчині, нарушничок стати.
Ой, на білім світі, у зеленім літі, дівчина купається, де достигнем житті. Ой, на білім світі, у зеленім літі, дівчина купається, де достигнем житті. Ой, на білім світі, у зеленім літі, дівчина купається, не достигнем житті.
Чорна, як сичанка, чорна, як сичанка, чорна, як сичанка.
was the lovely Oksana Mucha from Ukraine from her CD Reshto. And Oi Chorna, Yes Chorna, I Am a Dark-Eyed Beauty. And before her, you heard Privit from Montreal from their CD Zaklikanya, Remember Me. And Divchina Kupayetsya, Maiden in a Field. And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. It's fascinating to discover how different beef can taste. Ukrainians have a variety of tasty beef dishes like hussar roast, beef goulash, roast tenderloin with mushroom sauce, beef tenderloin Kiev style, to mention a few. From prehistoric times, Ukraine has been engaged in agriculture and the breeding of hardy livestock. Domestic animals have always held a place of great significance in the Ukrainian way of life, as they were so necessary to the livelihood of the people. Dependence upon them for primary food, trade, and other needs meant that every attention must be given to the care of the animals. Generally speaking, meat has always been an important food item in Ukraine, although not the foremost with all classes of society. In the cities where fresh meat is available all year round, beef and veal are preferred. Pork is next in favor. Meat cookery is well developed in Ukraine, especially among the urban and aristocratic families. The average families prepare meat very simply by roasting, boiling, or frying. But among the well-to-do, particularly on gala occasions, meat dishes are very elaborate, almost extravagant. A great traditional Ukrainian dish is meatballs with horseradish stuffing. They are quite different from the usual meatballs. So, to start, prepare your favorite meatball. The stuffing is made of 2 sieved, hard-cooked egg yolks, about 1/3 cup grated horseradish, 2 tablespoons each of melted butter and soft breadcrumbs. Mix them together thoroughly into balls. Then make into patties. Place a small amount of the stuffing on each patty. Turn up the edges over the filling and seal. Shape into balls or ovals. Brown them in hot butter or oil. Place them in a baking dish and make a gravy, blending 1 tablespoon flour with fat in the pan, and add about 1/2 cup soup stock or water. Bring it to a boil and add 1/2 cup sour cream. Pour the sauce over the meat. Cover and cook in a 350-degree oven for 30 minutes. Then devour. Do you know that beef steak dinner has less fat than a large muffin, a main dish Caesar salad, or a broccoli and cheese quiche with salad? It's important to remember that fat in foods can be visible, like the fat on meat or poultry, much of which can be trimmed off. The hidden or invisible fat, such as the fat used in processing or preparation of foods such as potato chips, muffins, and French fries, cannot be removed. So remember, keep your eyes on your beef and try the stuffed beef patties with horseradish. You'll love them. Last but not least, the iron in meat, fish, and poultry is a special form and is absorbed more readily by the body. Vegetables, fruit, grains, and eggs contained a different form of iron, which is not absorbed as well. So happy cooking. Until next time, smachnoho.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
You're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Чую, ой, та дуна, 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 ой, та дуна, дайна, ой, та дуна, ой, та дуна, дайна.
And from Edmonton, Alberta, that was Millennia from their first CD, Korinya, which means roots. And that song was Ya muziku duzhe lyublyu, which means I really love music, and what good self-respecting Ukrainian doesn't. Now let's find out what's going on in Ukraine.
Ukrainian News Outlook.
Coming up, the case of Yulia Tymoshenko creating problems for the Ukraine and European Union, Shell and Chevron to begin drilling for gas and oil by 2017. We have this and more. Stay tuned. I'm Keith Parron. Around 300 people gathered for the United Opposition Forum in Kiev on Saturday to condemn the political repression and corruption in the country. They also criticized the government's economic policies, especially those that have led to soaring taxes and unfavorable pension reforms. The participants stated their plans to strip incumbent President Viktor Yanukovych of leadership and establish a state where democracy and the rule of law will prevail. The scattered opposition parties have joined a united front since the arrest and imprisonment of the former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko, who is a popular opposition figure. Many of them believe Yanukovych was behind the decision to give Tymoshenko a 7-year prison sentence last fall. At the end of the forum, the United Opposition denied to approve the proposed draft action plan entitled A Fair State and Honest Government, Decent Life, as the basis for holding a national public debate. They also announced their decision to hold a series of conferences, roundtables, and public hearings with civil society organizations from May until June. Ukraine's prime minister said Tuesday that his predecessor has been correctly convicted of abusing her powers in signing a gas deal with Russia, and invited European observers to watch her appeal. On a visit to Brussels, the prime minister said his predecessor, Yulia Tymoshenko, had been convicted and sentenced to 7 years in prison by a judiciary that was free and independent. Tymoshenko's appeal, however, was postponed in Ukraine on Tuesday on what her lawyers call political grounds. The 27-nation European Union has criticized her sentence as being politically motivated. Tymoshenko has accused President Viktor Yanukovych, the longtime rival, who narrowly defeated her in the 2010 presidential election, of jailing her to prevent her from posing a challenge in October's parliamentary elections. Some EU officials and governments have vowed to boycott the games in Ukraine, that's the UEFA Cup, over Tymoshenko's imprisonment. Not all European countries have criticized Ukraine. Some leaders, like Lithuania's president, seem to be attracted to Ukraine to try to help with their problems. Alexandra Molokolop has the story.
While the majority of the European countries have heavily criticized Ukraine for its political tension, some European presidents are seen to be magnetized to come to Ukraine to sort out the situation in the post-Soviet bloc. President of Lithuania Dalia Grybauskaitė, who has been supporting Ukraine's efforts to the EU integration, visited the jailed opposition leader Yulia Tymoshenko, whose plight in prison soured relations between Ukraine and the West. On Wednesday, Tymoshenko ended her hunger strike after being moved to a hospital in eastern Ukraine. She has been treated by a German doctor.
I am very glad I have met Yulia Tymoshenko in hospital. She seemed quite optimistic and she is very happy about German doctors who finally treat her.
Lithuanian president was the first foreign head of state who visited Yulia Tymoshenko.
It's very important that the president of Lithuania decided to visit Ukraine only with one condition, is to visit her mother. It's her type of protest against the repressions and the violence used against politicians in prison.
Tymoshenko has claimed she had been beaten by prison guards. Europe, however, remains heavily concerned over her case, and several European leaders have threatened to boycott next month's Euro 2012 games in Ukraine. Ukrainian president has not commented on Tymoshenko's case in recent weeks. However, he made an unexpected remark in a meeting with Moldovan president on Friday. He said a pause in relations between Ukraine and the European Union will be useful for both sides.
I should say that the European Union initiated a pause. I think the answer here will be found in the legal context, while the politicization of this issue is, of course, a contemporary phenomenon.
While the state is on the way of being irreversibly ignored, newly appointed Russian president invited his Ukrainian counterpart to participate in the informal summit of leaders of the Commonwealth of Independent States on 15th of May.
All Ukrainian politicians have to first work on the situations of political prisoners and deteriorating democracy inside the country. Only after the compromise is reached, the state will be again welcomed in the whole world.
Although Western leaders have snubbed the country, the president shows no sign of easing up on imprisoned opposition leader. Experts say the boycott may push Ukraine toward its eastern neighbor, Russia, who keeps on dragging Ukraine into Eurasian Union. Alexandra Molotkova, Kyiv.
Industrial gas production at two major fields in Ukraine will begin by 2017, said the Minister of the Ukrainian Environment and Natural Resources in Kyiv on Wednesday. Shell and Chevron intend to drill around 5,000 wells at the two fields during the geological prospecting stage, which has exceeded the government's original expectations. Shell and Chevron's proposal involved the government's stake in recovered product of more than 30%, where the required minimum was 16.5%. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Ukraine News Outlook. I'm Keith Parent.
You're listening to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio. Canada's Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs and International Development has been visiting Ukraine this past week to get a first-hand look at the situation regarding human rights, politically motivated selective justice, and the rule of law on the ground in Ukraine. The delegation consists of 7 Canadian members of parliament who conducted hearings in Kyiv, Kharkiv, and Lviv, Ukraine. They were accompanied by Taras Zaluski of the Ukrainian-Canadian Congress, Bob Onischuk of the Canada-Ukraine Foundation, and Boris Potapenko of the League of Ukrainian Canadians. The hearings were open to the public and media, and on Thursday the committee held a conference call from Lviv for the Ukrainian-Canadian media. I had the privilege of being on that call, during which the Honourable Bob Deckard, Member of Parliament and Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister of Foreign Affairs, John Baird, and the Honourable Ralph Goodale, Liberal MP for Wascana, shared their experiences and observations. Although there were some technical difficulties with the connection, the discussion was very informative, so I'd like to share it now with the listeners of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. It starts with opening remarks by Parliamentary Secretary Bob Deckard and MP Ralph Goodale, followed by questions from Oksana Bashuk-Hepburn, Simon Kuklevsky of Ukrainian Time Radio in Montreal, and myself on the jailing of opposition politicians, free trade, and the electoral process in Ukraine.
We are 7 members of parliament who have traveled to Ukraine this week in furtherance of a study that the Foreign Affairs Committee has undertaken beginning a few months ago on the state of democracy, economy, and civil society in Ukraine. So this week we arrived late Sunday. We met with the Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, Mr. Klimkin. And we began 2 days of hearings on Monday and Tuesday in Kyiv, the capital city, where we met with political leaders, business leaders, academic and media leaders, and representatives of non-governmental organizations, especially involved in support of democratic institutions and elections here in Ukraine. On Wednesday, we traveled to Kharkiv in eastern Ukraine, and met with similar political, business, and media and NGO leaders. And today we have been in Lviv all day, where we met with members of the local city council, elected members of the regional government, the oblast, the deputy governor of the oblast of Lviv region, and the mayor of Lviv, in addition to a number of media and civil society representatives. Yesterday, while we were in Kharkiv, we attended at the entrance to the hospital where Mrs. Yulia Tymoshenko, the former Prime Minister of Ukraine, is being held as a prisoner and receiving medical treatment. We had formally requested an opportunity to meet with her, but that request was denied by the penal authorities here in Ukraine, and the reason that they provided was that it was inconvenient for them to receive us yesterday, as there was another international delegation, I believe, from the European Union visiting her the same day. We made a statement collectively at the front gate of the hospital requesting that Mrs. Tymoshenko, Mr. Lutsenko, Mr. Ivashenko, and a number of other citizens of Ukraine, some of whom have been involved, been elected previously or involved in government, who we believe have been subject to selective, politically motivated justice. We requested that Ms. Tymoshenko and Lutsenko and Mr. Ivashenko receive, first of all, the medical treatment that they need in the appropriate facilities as soon as possible, and secondly, that they be released. And then we continue on our way to Lviv. So we've heard from many interlocutors about some troubling developments in the democratic process here in Ukraine. Obviously, the prosecution of people that I just mentioned, but also concerns about how the parliamentary elections may be conducted later this year, how the election rules, which were agreed to by all members of the democratically elected Ukrainian parliament are being arbitrarily amended in some cases, and a number of other issues of concern surrounding the electoral process. We heard from a number of organizations and individuals that there's a need for international election observers for the parliamentary election this year. And as you may know, Canada has provided such election observers in each of the parliamentary elections in the last 20 years since the independence of Ukraine. Canada was, of course, the first Western nation to recognize Ukraine's independence. And obviously, Ukraine is of great importance to the Canadian people. So we have advised the people that we've met with that Canada will be supplying both long-term and short-term election observers this year, as it has done in the past. I think that is sufficient for my opening statement, and I'd be pleased to take any questions.
Moderator?
Thank you very much. This is Ralph Goodale, Member of Parliament for Wascana, Deputy Leader of the Liberal Party of Canada. A very happy and supportive member of the House of Commons Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs and International Development. Very happy to have participated in this week of activity here in Ukraine. If I might say so, I want to congratulate Mr. Deckert on his handling of this very complicated week and for treating all members of the committee in a very fair and inclusive manner. The whole process has been conducted very professionally. Our thanks as well to the embassy staff here in Ukraine, and especially to Ambassador Troy Lalashnik, who has been of extraordinary assistance. We would also want to acknowledge Taras Zalewski from the Ukrainian-Canadian Council, Bob Onishuk from the Canada-Ukraine Foundation, and Boris Potapenko of the League of Ukrainian-Canadians, who have also been traveling with the committee. With the committee, and have been extraordinarily valuable in helping us to communicate effectively. Mr. Deckert has provided a very comprehensive summary of our activity. On behalf of the Liberal Party, I simply want to say that we support the propositions that he has put forward, in particular the proper treatment of the political prisoners, the provision of medical assistance, and seeing those prisoners released promptly, we think is exceedingly important, as well as maximizing the Canadian role when it comes to supplying the observer missions that are necessary for the free and fair and transparent elections that we hope will take place in Ukraine toward the latter part of this year. One or two further points that I would just add. The Government of Canada will obviously be considering the range of things that it will need to do to be supportive of the Ukrainian people. Beyond the statements that have been made, the very strong statements about the political prisoners and about election observers, we would urge the government to proceed as it is doing. In the
folks, obviously we're having difficulties with the connections here. We will try and reestablish a connection with Mr. Deckert. Sincere apologies for the delay and the technical issues we're experiencing. Please do continue to hold. Do appreciate your patience and understanding.
You're back in your conference, sir.
Thank you. Hello, it's Bob Deckert speaking. I believe we're free to take some questions. Would anybody like to ask a question?
Our first question is from Roxana Bashford-Hepburn.
First of all, were you able to verify or were you able to ascertain whether, in fact, the reason that you were not allowed to see Ms. Tymoshenko had to do with another delegation? And if so, why did Canada go at the same time?
We did know that another group was likely to be there that day. They was at a different time, I believe. We left it open. We were willing to go there at any time that the State Penal Service might suggest, and we had put our request in several days in advance. I think we only became aware of the visit of that other organization after we had formally filed our request. But my understanding is that other organization visited her day, and we were there earlier in the day. So, you know, my personal view is that it may not have been an accurate statement as to why we were not being allowed to see her. I did request to see her back in March on behalf of Minister Baird, and that request was made many days in advance, and I don't believe there was any other group or person meeting with her that day. That was when she was still in the penal colony, and the response that I received was simply that they could see no valid reason for the meeting. And they quoted, they cited some article of their penal code. So, you know, you can read into it what you wish. We are, though, grateful that our ambassador was allowed to visit with her in the penal colony in February, along with three Canadian doctors who were allowed to examine her and provide her with medical advice.
Right. The other question is, given that there appears to be very little response on the part of Ukraine's government to the kind of global pressure that is surrounding the persecution of the opposition, what is your reaction to that, and what further steps do you think will be taken, A, by Ukraine, and then B, by democratic governments?
Well, I think first of all, I'd like to say that, you know, we're frustrated that the government hasn't made more changes in the face of the, you know, international requests. However, I think that there are some changes that are being made. I mean, in the case of Mrs. Tymoshenko, and I want to stress that she's just, you know, one person and one symbol of the problems with the democratic system here. But she stands as a symbol to the world of the problems that are here. There are a number of other people who appear to be facing selective justice on the basis of their political activities. And so, you know, for example, the Canadian doctors and German doctors were allowed to examine her. She has now been moved to a hospital where she's under the care of one German doctor. That's an improvement over the situation 2 months ago. It's not sufficient, but it's a step in the right direction. A number of people we met with this week suggested to us that they might be making some amendments to their penal code that would allow house arrest. And therefore, another step might be that Mrs. Tymoshenko, Mr. Lutsenko, and Mr. Ivanchenko might get released to house arrest, which would be kind of an interim step down in their incarceration. So I think that might be, I could suggest that might be an example, a result of international pressure. With respect to the electoral process, I would cite two things. One is when I first visited in late March and I met with all of in the majority party, which is the party of regions, the opposition parties were all taking a scattered approach. They were not unified. There had been a recent municipal election in the Kiev region where the party regions candidate won by a narrow margin because the other parties apparently split the vote. You know, as a result of their discussions with us and with many other groups around the world, they have, I think it was on the 12th of May, most of the parties, not all of them, but the two largest parties, largest opposition parties, have agreed to combine electorally. So that might be a result of you know, the international observation of what's been going on. And secondly, a number of NGO organizations that we spoke to said that they were cautiously optimistic in recent weeks that the elections this year would be fair and transparent. And that is markedly different than what I heard in March. And I think that what I heard was that, you know, the government is interfering less in the election preparation than it was doing or it was feared that it would do 2 months ago.
Thank you. We do have another question from Roxana Bashuk-Hedburn again.
My question is to Mr. Goodale. In your introductory remarks, you said, quote, "I hope the elections will take place." I wonder if you could elaborate on that.
What I was referring to, I hope they will be free and fair. Obviously, the elections are scheduled to take place in the fall. Canada's hope is that they will be free and fair and completely transparent. And that's why the government will be considering the numbers of election observers that can be sent, the kind of leadership for the mission to ensure that it's led at a very senior level. The elections will undoubtedly take place. The Canadian observers will be there. What we hope is that the end result will be free, fair, and transparent that reflects the hopes and aspirations of the Ukrainian people.
Thank you.
I'll turn you right back to Mr. Decker.
Thank you. Our next question is from
Simon
Kogrowski from CSMB Radio. Please go ahead.
I have a question in regards to the prospect of signing a free trade agreement between Canada and Ukraine. How is it progressing?
I understand that the progress is going well. I believe three or maybe four rounds of negotiations have been completed at this stage. There will likely be another round or two before all the issues are dealt with, but I understand the negotiations are proceeding well. And I think Mr. Goodale said made the case very well and clearly in that we collectively don't see any reason to stop negotiating the trade agreement. It can be good for Ukraine and the people of Ukraine and for the people of Canada, but the ratification is a separate point. And until you have an agreement on paper, the people of Ukraine wouldn't know what they were missing if it were not ratified. So I think that's the way these things are done, and we would encourage the negotiators to continue in due course, and I think we'll be clear at what we expect to see in terms of the state of democracy and the state of human rights and rule of law in Ukraine before Canada would ratify such an agreement.
Thank you. Our next question is from Paulette McQuarrie. Please go ahead.
Hello, this is Paulette McQuarrie with Nosh Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver, BC. My question is, you had said earlier that in speaking with NGOs, they're cautiously optimistic that the upcoming elections would be free and fair. And this is different from the situation in March. Could you elaborate on what it is that's changed in the last 2 months?
What I heard from a number of NGO groups, and I met with about 30 of them in March, was that they were concerned that there were problems with the voters' lists across the country, and that that persons unknown were adding false names to the voters' list. That secondly, there was a problem with the design of the election boundaries for the districts. As you may know, Ukraine is moving from a 100% party list system to a system where 50% of the MPs will be elected by party list and 50% will be elected to represent specific ridings, as we do in Canada. And so they're going through a process now of drawing up the boundaries. And there was a concern expressed in March by a number of groups that the process was not transparent, and the boundaries were being prepared in such a way as it would benefit one particular party, being the Party of Regions. That seemed to be more muted this time around. And a third criticism I heard was that the election law, which was agreed to some time ago by the Ukrainian parliament, that many provisions of it, although all the opposition MPs I spoke to said it wasn't perfect, they were prepared to live with it. And then the constitutional courts of Ukraine were independently reviewing various sections of it and striking down those sections as being unconstitutional and putting in place different election rules. That seems to have subsided to a certain extent. I'm looking at my colleagues and I'm not seeing them suggest that anything different. We didn't hear that as a major concern this week. And so my view is, and it may be just coincidence, but my view is that perhaps the international pressure has caused the constitutional courts to cease that process.
Thank you.
Or at least mute it in some way.
Thank you.
If there are no further questions, I'll just thank you all very much for your interest and say on behalf of all of my colleagues here from all parties on the Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs and International Development that we are very pleased to have had this opportunity to visit Ukraine and to hear directly from so many people about the situation here, and that we look forward to filing our report in Parliament with recommendations in the coming weeks. Thank you all for your interest, and I hope you have a good day.
Follow your feet to the beat at the Vigorville Pesenka Festival, taking place this year, July 6th, 7th, and 8th in Vigorville, Alberta. Enjoy complete cultural immersion with Ukrainian music, dance, food, arts and crafts, pioneer demonstrations, stage shows and the covered grandstand, and much more. Weekend passes and on-site camping. For more information, visit their website, pesenkafestival.com. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune into Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. AM 1320 on the radio dial in Vancouver and online at am1320.com. Elsewhere, Nash Holos airs on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave radio around the world. And online, you can find us at www.nashholos.com, on the Nash Holos page at www.pcjmedia.com, and on iTunes. As well, you can catch our program on your mobile phone via the Stitcher app. І на жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Якщо літом призбираєш, то зимою скористаєш. And our proverb of the week translates as, if you gather during summer, you will profit in winter. And that's something to think about as we plant our gardens this spring. Here in the Northern Hemisphere anyways. Well, that just about wraps things up for another program here on Nash Holos. To take us to the end, we've got the Ukrainian connection from Saskatchewan with Who Stole the Kishka? I'm Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Till next time, до побачення.